The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
3:07 on the Central Coast on this Thursday, April 18th, 2024. I'm Dave Congleton, welcoming you to another edition of Hometown Radio. Thanks for hanging out with us. Craig and I are with you all the way till 7 o'clock. We've got a lot to cover today. Straight ahead on this broadcast at 4:05, our friends from the Slo Master Chorale are with us. Big concert coming up this weekend. We'll tell you all about it. Followed by a conversation with the good folks from the Slo Symphony. They're preparing and serving up an evening in Vienna. What's that about? We'll find out. I don't know if you can afford it, though, because you're probably putting all your money into a house payment. Michael Aaron Woody at 5:05. The million-dollar homes are here. We're not talking about the price of the home. We're talking about the median price of homes on the Central Coast in many communities. What do we do? Dr. Papp is back with us at 6:05. Putting the spotlight on local history. It is a Dave Congleton show, always your hometown radio talk show. First up, first time guest, very important book. Cindy Wittstrom has put her story on paper. The book is called When the Brakes Fail. It is an unflinching look at her own journey as she has learned to live with and battle bipolar illness. She is going to be doing a presentation tomorrow at the Slo County Library Conference Room, starting at 3 o'clock, going till 5 o'clock. When the Brakes Fail is available however you get books. Why am I talking when Cindy's here? Cindy, nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Nice to be here.
Congratulations. Why don't you say that now? We'll see how you feel when you leave, right? Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
How does that feel to have this story out in public for people to know, you know, friends who may not have known, may have suspected, because we know about stigma. How do you feel with the book out now?
Well, it almost is a relief. Putting it out there, letting people read it, letting people try and understand me, and giving them a voice to have me understand them. And their friends and their family to do just the same.
Why did it take you so long to put it on paper, and how did you know this was the time?
Well, I wrote in one of the chapters that time marches on, and I kept thinking, if I don't write it now, maybe in another 5 years I won't be able to write it, or maybe I won't have the drive. And I just felt like now is now. And that's why I did it. It took a long time to put everything together, to try and sort out your life. It's kind of messy.
Yeah, but you mentioned first chapter, second chapter, somewhere early in the book, maybe in the prologue, you write, you were dreadfully afraid of not writing this book.
I was afraid that if my story wasn't told, that maybe it would take another few years for somebody else to write their story. And it well could have been the same as mine. So I needed to get a jump start and go forward. I couldn't just sit idly.
And in the course of doing this, did you learn new perspective about this journey you've been on by having to go back and research it all and put it all together?
Yes, definitely. I definitely learned a lot of things about myself. I learned a lot of things about how others perceive me. I understood a lot about the struggles that my family has had to endure. So it wasn't all neat and clean and tidy. There was a lot that went on, but all in all, I'm happy that I did it.
Fourth generation.
Yes.
In this county.
Yes.
So you grew up in this area, grew up people knowing you, you know people. What kind of reaction have you been getting from your friends now that this book is out?
Well, you know, people don't always say exactly what they think.
Yeah.
But
fair enough.
But for the most part, I have gotten a lot of good feedback. I think society is starting to understand that people's lives aren't always what they appear to be.
Yeah.
That more is going on than meets the eye. And when I came out and explained what I'd been going through, they were heads up. They said, "We're glad you said this."
How are you today? How have you been doing lately?
Good.
How long has it been since you've had an episode?
Be 4 years in July. 5 years in July.
Cindy Wittstrom on this broadcast spells her last name Wittstrom. When the Brakes Fail. Explain the title, please.
Well, I had gone after my first son was born. I started having a lot of different symptoms, not sleeping, doing repetitive things, not being able to take care of my son like I should be. It was rough. Whereas a lot of women also have these kind of conditions. And my OBGYN from San Luis, a very respected doctor, told me that, well, what I need to do is walk, just walk. Then I'll be able to sleep. Well, I walked and I walked and I walked and actually stirred me up more, and I still could not sleep. So I went to our little town doctor, and he says, I can diagnose it right now. You've got postpartum depression. And I said, well, I'm not real depressed. He says, no, it doesn't have to be depression. A lot of times it can be mania as well. And we said, well, what can we do? And he says, well, he says, this is like a runaway freight train. It better stay on the tracks or it's going to derail. And when it derails, we're going to have a big mess. And so he said, how about San Luis Obispo County General Hospital, the mental health unit? And that's where I went.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Well, so let's talk a little bit about tomorrow. Again, you're going to be at the library here in San Luis in the big public conference room starting at 3 o'clock. What's going to be doing? Are you going to be doing a presentation?
Actually, I'll be signing books.
Okay.
And I want to have an informal discussion about the book, about anything that people have questions about. I'm not a therapist. I don't have credentials, but I know my story, and I can tell people about what has gone on in my life, and hopefully give some information that maybe they don't know about yet. And I think it'll be a good meeting ground.
What's your website, please?
CindyWittstrom.com.
Kind of says it all.
Yeah.
Available however you get books. You can get them online. You can go to your favorite local bookstore. You can order it. You can come tomorrow. Any number of ways to get these books.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and continue the conversation. I want to give Cindy a chance to share how the journey began. And I sure hope that if you're listening and you know people who might benefit from what Cindy's talking about, that you let them know and help me spread the word. This is a very important book, and it's very courageous, I think, of Cindy to share her story. And she brings up some interesting points that we will get into over the course of the hour. Anyway, we're live, we're local, we're hometown. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Actor Beau Bridges is going to join us next week to talk about his upcoming film that's going to be showcased at the International Film Festival. Mr. Science is going to join us. We're going to be all over the place. Right now, though, we are back with Cindy Wittstrom. The book is When the Brakes Fail. She is inviting you to come to a presentation and signing tomorrow from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Slo County public library right downtown. Go to the conference room. If you can't make it, I would still encourage you to get the book however you get the book. So, reading through the book, Cindy, I'm struck by the fact that, by all accounts, you had a regular upbringing. You had two gregarious parents. You met Ken, is your husband?
Carl,
close. You met Carl, and everything seemed to be going along fine. And then two things happened. I'm looking... winter of 1978. Tell the diner story.
Oh, that was pretty frightening. This one, we just had my son, and I was getting no sleep. The baby would sleep when I should be sleeping, and the stress is building up. I can't nurse the baby. Just a variety of problems. Well, we go into this diner, and my husband and I were just going to have a little bite to eat. And all of a sudden, I just tensed up and I just thought that the people in the diner were looking at me and they were saying something about me. Now, this was like very odd for me. And of course, nobody was doing that. Then we went out to, we bought a property out in North Pass Robles, and it had a big canyon in it, and we took a picnic. We decided to go out for the evening, and in my mind, I was sure that Carl was taking me down into the canyon to shoot me, and then he'd just leave me there. This was just bizarre thought process.
Had it ever happened before?
Never. They say a lot of things, like with soldiers that are... POW camps, and you just kind of lose your mind after a while when there's no sleep.
Right.
And that's kind of what I was doing. I was just fabricating things that weren't happening.
So how does it get to a diagnosis of bipolar illness?
Well, I didn't have any problem for like 18 years. No symptom of postpartum depression, and I had twins.
You had the boy, then you had twins.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I was foreperson of the San Luis Obispo County grand jury, and the stressors were coming out because we were trying to get our end of the year reports done, and there was one juror that we were having some problems with. And I was not knowing how to handle it. And before long, I started dropping weight, like 15 pounds just fell off of me. I couldn't sleep again. The same old thing. And so all of the family was out camping. And I went to another doctor and I said, you know, and I gave her the whole schmo. And she says, I think you need to go into, there's now a psychiatric unit at French Hospital. They had a big, beautiful one. And so she put me in a in a ambulance. Down I went to San Luis, and I self-admitted. And I got the most wonderful doctor ever, who diagnosed me on the spot and had me go up to the unit, and I spent 2 weeks there.
But when she diagnosed you, what was your reaction? Did you know what this meant to be bipolar? Did you know what she was talking about?
Not really. Yeah. But I was so desperate for wanting to be well that I took whatever she had to say and figured she had the credentials. I was just a layperson. So she did a lot of testing, but she came back to that same conclusion.
And I don't mean to gloss over a large part of the story. We certainly want people to buy the book. But just to back up and underscore all this, your childhood, your young adulthood, everything is fine. And then you have your first baby, and then you have the diner incident. You have the fear of your husband trying to kill you. You end up in General Hospital and your brain is kind of restarted and you're fine for about 18 years. And then, boom.
Yep.
French Hospital.
Yep.
Allow me to ask you the role of your husband in all this, because this had to be a burden on him.
Yes, but he's a very black and white person. He knows if there's a problem, he handles the problem. When the problem is handled, you move on. And he was able to do that in a loving way. He had to actually admit me into the general hospital, the county general hospital. But I signed off that it was voluntary. But he had to make some choices. But then as I began more interest, I became more aware of the signs, I could see when I would have a problem and I'd ask for help. Sometimes it would be before we would notice the problem. But
Cindy Wittstrom on this broadcast, her memoirs, When the Brakes Fail, her battle against bipolar disease. She's going to be at the San Luis Obispo Library tomorrow starting at 3 o'clock. Come on by and say hi and hear her story and ask questions. And how can this get even more complicated and challenging? You ended up staring down breast cancer.
Pardon?
You ended up battling cancer as well.
Yes.
And I asked you when you first came in, I'll ask you on the air, was there a connection? Because, and I'm not a doctor, but it seems to me, Cindy, that you're undergoing all sorts of stress because of the bipolar, and then you get breast cancer. I don't know. I'm wondering if there's a link.
You know, who's to say? No doctor has ever specifically said that. Their question was always, is there a link between postpartum depression and bipolar illness? And they pretty much have said, yes, there is a link, but they've never brought up the cancer.
So your family, I mean, this doesn't run in your family. So they're convinced that there's a high risk of what happened to you from your pregnancy led to bipolar. Mm-hmm. So when you started finding out more about this, was it easy? Did you have the resources to fully understand bipolar?
Well, I did not have the resources, but I was surrounded by people who gave me the resources. They had me like an outpatient clinic. I was in that for about a month. So they were really pretty proactive. But part of my concern and part of the reason I wrote the book is somehow I got blessed with doctors and facilities that helped me, that hit square on what my problems were, or they were willing to explore possibilities, try different medications. And some of the people suffer today because they don't have access to those types of professionals.
There is certainly plenty to discuss, but let's break away and check in with California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig will update us with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. Then we will continue our conversation with Cindy. Again, her book is called When the Brakes Fail, talking about her battles with bipolar. There's a lot to talk about here. Again, she's going to be at the library tomorrow from 3 to 5 p.m. The book is available however you get books. This is Hometown Radio. Just joining us, my guest is Cindy Wittstrom. She is the author of a brand new memoir called When the Brakes Fail, chronicling her journey and her discovery of being diagnosed with bipolar disease and what she's been doing in response to that. The official title is Bipolar Disorder 1, Manic Phase. She is going to be at the San Luis Obispo Public Library in the community room tomorrow from 3 to 5 p.m. for an informal presentation. Happy to answer your questions and a book signing. I would encourage people to come. Although, as we're back with you, Cindy, stigma is a big part of all this, isn't there? I wonder whether or not that was a factor in why you waited so long to write the book. I wonder if you, over the years, shared your story with people, or did you keep it to yourself?
Stigma was an enormous part of my reluctance to write the book. Not enough people know about bipolar illness to be able to interact with you in terms of what you're trying to tell them. But they know it's a mental illness, and they know that's got to be bad. So if they're giving you the vibes that it's going to be bad, then you just don't bring it up. It was very select few that that we told. Just was my parents and my sister and one friend, and that was it. Nobody else knew. And with the fact that I can mask pretty well, and that I'm quite high functioning, most people wouldn't ask because they wouldn't suspect it.
And just to clarify, because in the last segment, it sounds like other than the first doctor who told you, oh, I'll just go out and walk some more, you really got exceptional medical care. You've got treatment and support all along the way. But I get the impression that yours is not the typical case.
No, I'm afraid not. I hear horror stories, either people never mentioning it, the fact that they have an illness, to anyone, or the fact that they finally get the courage to go in to see a doctor, and they're either blown off, or they're, you know, they look at them like they're cross-eyed, or whatever the case may be. But they don't get help like they need it.
You told me the story of a friend, seven different?
This was recently.
Yeah.
He went in, he needed to see someone, and I didn't ask what was going on. He called up seven psychologists in this area. He couldn't get into any of them, and he put himself on the wait list for each and every one. So here he had a problem. He knew he had a problem. He knew he needed to see someone, but he couldn't get in.
It's because their client load was already too heavy?
Probably, yeah.
All right. Stats in the book. Let me just throw these out here. There are more than 3 million cases in the U.S. per year. As many as 20% of people complaining of depression to their doctor actually have bipolar disorder. About half of people with bipolar disorder have seen three professionals before being diagnosed correctly. It takes an average of 10 years for people to enter treatment after symptoms begin. This is caused in part by delays in diagnosis. Finally, most people with bipolar disorder have additional psychiatric conditions such as substance abuse or anxiety. This can make overall diagnoses more challenging.
Yes, I mean that... Exclamation point. That is so true. 10 years in order to get a diagnosis. A lot goes on in 10 years. To me, it saddens me because you've got people that are suffering that need some help. When I was back at the San Luis Obispo General Hospital, the doctor didn't really even see me, but he you know, read all of the symptoms and everything, and he just started me on a very minuscule drug regimen. And in a matter of 3 or 4 days, I started turning the corner. So, I mean, these doctors have an opportunity to help these people, even if it's just through medication management. I mean, there, it is always better to have the medication management with the talk therapy, but a lot more could be done.
We should back up, though. When, so when you say, well, I'm bipolar, what does that mean? To the layperson, explain that to me. Okay, you're bipolar. What does that mean?
It means that I have a mood disorder, and it is the brain. To me, I always think of the pistons in an engine,
yeah.
How they go up and down, up and down. Well, that's kind of the way I am. And I have much more ups than I have downs. So what the medication that they give me wants, it wants to bring me into a more more of an even keel.
Yeah.
And one of the medications that I'm on actually is given to epileptics, and for, you know, the overactive brain function. And I'm on a very minor dose of that, but it just seems to work for me.
It, daily dose?
Mm-hmm.
You take it daily and take it the rest of your life?
Probably so.
What happened if you wouldn't take your medication?
I don't want to chance it.
Okay. No, I don't blame you. Please take your medication.
I just don't want to.
Take your medication at least till 4 o'clock.
But if they come up with a better medication and they were to try me on a better medication, I'm all for it.
Yeah, but in the book, what surprised me, I get the medication part, I get the medical treatment part, but a large part of your program involved journaling, involved writing. Make the connection.
Yes, and I don't know who gave me the idea, but at a pretty early age, maybe around 21 or so, I started journaling. You know, you got the time and the date, and you've got, you maybe write one line, maybe write two lines, whatever, draw a picture. Doodle, doesn't matter. But you have a way of tracking your moods, your thought patterns. It was very helpful to me in writing the book because I was able to see where I was in a certain cycle of my mood. When you're manic, the thoughts are just bouncing off your head. You know, you're thinking about this, you're thinking about that, you know.
Yeah.
So you really don't want to write when you're manic. And you really don't want to write when you're depressed either. But most of your thoughts come when you're manic because you'll just slay the world. But when you're depressed, you just don't want to push that pen against the paper because it's just, you know, it's just going to not be imaginative. It's going to be all gray. It's not going to be anything worthy of looking at later.
I had no idea about the writing part, but listening to you makes perfect sense. You're kind of mapping out everything.
Yeah.
What may I ask what happened 4 years ago, your last episode?
Actually, it was in July. It was almost 5 years. I just started, my mind started racing, and I had been on medication and everything. But there was something that was out of sorts, and the doctor was being proactive and said, we need to get you somewhere because we don't want this getting out of control. And so she had me go to Cottage Hospital in Santa Barbara.
Good hospital.
And it was mainly they dealt with the medications. We didn't have a lot of, you know, therapy, talk therapy, but you interacted a lot with the other patients. And there in the facility, people were there for all sorts of reasons. There were people there on court-ordered domestic abuse. There were one guy, he was in there for, he had had back injury when he was in the service. And so then he got hooked on pain medication. Well, the doctor says, I can't perform another surgery on you until you're off the pain medication. So he was in there pretty much for withdrawals. And it just, suicide watches, all sorts of different situations that are very common.
But have you come across people who are like you, similar stories?
You know, there was one gal in French Hospital that was very similar to me. But, I don't know, sometimes I think I'm the lone wolf, but I know I'm not. There are a lot of people that go through this.
How do you keep going? How do you keep going?
I've got a lot to be thankful for. Okay. I can't give up what I've got. Yeah. I just have to get better.
Yeah. I think you're doing okay. We're in conversation with Cindy Wittstrom, Wittstrom. Her memoir is called When the Brakes Fail. You can get this book however you get books, but she would particularly welcome you to stop by the San Luis Obispo Public Library tomorrow in the community room. She's going to be there signing her books. She'll have them there for sale, and you can talk to her. And we'll come back for a final segment. We're live, we're local. This is the Dave Congleton Show. Top of the hour, it's ABC Radio News. We are in conversation with Cindy Wittstrom, talking about her battle with bipolar disorder. The book is When the Brakes Fail, available however you get books. A general question, I'm going to throw it right across the plate here. What's your message to our listeners? What do you want us to understand about your journey and about being bipolar?
Well, I'm no different than many people. Very successful, done well in school and in my community and in my workplace. But I just happened to have a little flaw that I didn't know how to deal with. And there was nobody for me to ask, nobody for me to talk to about it. And I guess that my takeaway would be that there is somebody out there that has a problem that you have, or that your neighbor has, or that your aunt has. And there are people that will listen to them and to help. We're not on an island all alone.
So if I may interrupt, if you and I had been friends, how should I have approached you? If I have a friend who seems to be going through something like this, what can I do to help them? Other than buy a copy of your book and give it to them.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You have to somehow foster an atmosphere that they feel okay about, you know, sharing something that is very hard to share because they're so afraid of what your reciprocal response is going to be. So you have to kind of like, you know, plant the seeds. You think they have a problem, just say, hey, what's going on? You know, and just keep it light. And then if they express a desire, then you can do some problem shooting with them about different doctors, different forums in terms of maybe even the internet. There could be a myriad of ways to get things going.
Nearly one in five adults in the U.S. live with a mental illness.
Yep. And that those mental illnesses can be anxiety, attention deficit, autism, depression, eating disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders, personality disorders, post-traumatic stress disorders, schizophrenia, substance abuse. All those things are mental health disorders.
Sounds like you've gone through a lot of drugs and you've been in facilities two or three times. Where's health insurance in all this?
For the most part, it's non-existent. One facility that we were in, they picked up the bill on, but everything else, and my insurance, we've always had health insurance, so they usually pick up the medication. But the doctor's visits, I'm strictly a cash pay at the psychologist and at the psychiatrist. And you're talking $175 and $250.
Because, as you explain in the book, quoting now, the insurance companies do not reimburse the doctors fairly, especially in rural areas, so they in turn must operate their businesses as cash only.
Yeah.
Which is another barrier for people who want to get help but can't afford to get help.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's a whole societal problem. It's something that's going to take a lot more than you and I here at the microphones.
Also, quoting from the book, patients with severe mental illness often have little or no access to adequate medication, psychological counseling, social support, or housing. Again, this lack of access alienates and perpetuates the divisiveness of the disease.
Yeah. Well, that says a lot right there. It is alienating. You know, not only have you got the stigma of not wanting to talk about it and bearing it, once you finally decide to talk about it and to reach out, you've got all these other, you know, roadblocks.
Also, you raise in this that there's a shortage of psychiatrists in the U.S. There are 9 psychiatrists per 100,000 Americans. That doesn't sound like a lot.
I read that twice to make sure I had the right facts.
In order to provide true quality care, that ratio should be 15 psychiatrists per 100,000. And I imagine in our county, it's probably even worse.
Yes.
Well, and you explained earlier just with psychologists, your friend tried 7 different psychologists and couldn't find anybody.
Yep.
Now, what about general practitioners? They're dispensing drugs without much training. You saw this firsthand.
Yes. The psychopharmacology portion of the mental health picture, it is very, very precise. They sent me one time to a psychopharmacologist, and he had all sorts of reasons for tweaking my medication a certain way. Well, he has lots of training, even above and beyond being a psychiatrist. So we've got the GPs that are being overburdened with psychological conditions, and, you know, they probably hand out a handful of medication, the same ones, and just assuming that they will, one size fits all.
Yeah, let's take a call. Here's Jim in Aurora Grande. Hey, Jim.
Hey, I know we're late in the hour, Dave. I'll make it quick. As you know, I've got adopted children, 2 of my daughters. One of them is suffering from schizophrenia and paranoia. The good news is, and I want to be encouraging, and at least in San Luis Obispo County, she gets her needs paid for by SSI on disability. Also, the Transitional Mental Health Authority has her in a wonderful apartment in San Luis Obispo with housemates, and she's relatively independent. She has people that oversee her life, and she's doing great. So there's help there. I want to be encouraging. My other daughter is bipolar, alcoholic. I put her in rehab 10 years ago. My insurance, because I was working for Royal Caribbean, I had Cigna, that paid 10% of the $25,000 it cost to put her in rehab down in San Juan Capistrano. She went through a series of sober living houses, and now she's in Phoenix. She's on medication. She's doing great, although she had a real setback. I almost lost her last September. She had a psychotic break, and that scared her to death. Geez. So now she doesn't touch another drop of alcohol. She takes her meds, and she's doing okay.
Wow. Cindy, you want to comment?
I'm glad you had such positive incomes to tough situations. I'm sure there's a lot of love going on there.
Yeah.
They were drug babies. We adopted them when they were babies, and we knew that there was going to be some issues down the road. But I'm really thankful for the Social Security kicked in, disability, and taking care of them, and because we couldn't afford all that. But I'm just grateful that I realize when you were younger, I suppose, ma'am, that wasn't available. But now it is, and I want to be encouraging to any of the parents out there whose children are having issues. There is help available.
Well said, Jim. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. How are your children? You've got three adult children. Any signs?
Nope. They're doing great.
Did the doctors express concern about them? Is this passed down?
It can be, but not necessarily. It's one of those things that they have a higher chance than other people, but we haven't seen any problem.
All right, as we start to wrap things up, let me remind you, we have been in conversation with Cindy Wittstrom. She spells her name Wittstrom. The name of the memoir is called When the Brakes Fail. Your website is...
CindyWittstrom.com.
There are a couple people texting and trying to get a hold of you. Just go to her website. Repeat that again, please, Cindy.
CindyWittstrom.com.
And you can contact her directly through the website. You can also come by the library tomorrow here in San Luis Obispo. Go to the community room, and Cindy is going to be there from 3 to 5 p.m. Buy the book, talk to her, say hi, and go from there. Cindy, we so appreciate you coming in and sharing your story with us. We wish you well with the book. I got about 30 seconds for a final thought from you, please.
I'd just like to thank you, Dave, for giving me a forum to talk about maybe a subject that people would rather not hear about. But we need to be sensitive toward those that that suffer from anything, especially mental health. You know, if you've got diabetes, you treat the diabetes. If you've got a mental health condition, you need to treat the mental health condition.
Are you still journaling?
I am.
That keeps you going?
Yep.
All right. Another book in you?
Might be.
All right. Keep writing.
Okay.
Keep in touch. Thank you, Cindy. Off we go. News, traffic, weather, 4 o'clock hour starts now.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.